This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, high and mighty fans? This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code MIGHTY at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace. Build it beautiful, man. Look, I have a website. Check out Gabrus.com. It's a really dope website. I made it myself with some friends, but it was a hassle. It was expensive. It was difficult. I barely know how to update it. I wanted to add a little thing about this podcast, High and Mighty, and I had to hire someone to do that for me. Squarespace lets you make your website yourself and dumps it down so much that even a guy like me, who's pretty much an unshaven caveman, can figure it out himself. So you get a professional-looking site, no matter how your skill. You don't even have to code or anything like that. It's intuitive, easy to use. All the technology that's powering your site got security, stability. Everyone's using it, and only $8 a month, and you get a free domain if you sign up for a year. So start your free trial site today with no credit card required at squarespace.com. Right, if you're in a cash-only business, I'm looking at you, pool hall owners and drug dealers, you can even sign up at Squarespace. Make sure you use my show's offer code MIGHTY and you get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace. Build it beautiful. Now's the time to make that webcam site you always wanted of your creepy neighbor. What's up, shitheads? Welcome to another episode of the High and Mighty Podcast. Today, we're going to be dabbling in the nerd world. I know we switch back and forth wildly. Sorry, jocks. Do something else. You know, just go do buys and tries. This one's for the nerds. We're going to be talking fantasy novels with friend, stand-up comic, writer, and fantasy novel enthusiast, Jared Logan. Jared,
what's up?
Logan, thank you so much for coming
on. So happy to be here. Hey, there's no line between jocks and nerds anymore.
There isn't.
It's all the same guy.
Yeah.
It's just interests.
Yeah, I know. Like, Ronda Rousey likes Pokemon was like an announcement I saw.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, I think she like, or Yu-Gi-Oh cards or something. I saw a picture. Maybe she it was like, Ronda Rousey is a fan of anime, and it's like, everyone's mind is blown. Dudes are just coming to that.
Oh, so I bet. She's so sexy to me. I would love to be held in her arms, her strong arms.
I saw some meme today that was like, I would only last 34 seconds with Ronda Rousey as right. well, and I agree wholeheartedly.
Yes, yes.
I like a dominating woman, and Rousey brings that to me.
That's right, man. She's beautiful.
we're like, we're gonna nerd out about comic books instead. We just talk about girls in our class that we have crushes on.
I also
on.
Think it's funny that, you know, the reason, well, I don't know. I started getting in my head because I was like, now I'm saying I want to fuck her. Like, that's sort of like takes away. It's like, now I take away your strength, Rhonda.
Yeah. You're beautiful. Like, this, like, it's like, oh, look at that beautiful gazelle. I want right. to fuck it.
I want to fuck it. That's why I think all strip clubs have like animal names, like Cheetah Club or
yeah,
because
it's like
Club.
Bagging a big game.
I when you. Fuck the cheetah.
Yeah. It's the hunting mentality brought yeah. down from for food instead. Instead of for food, it's for sex.
Yes. Well, I'm a gatherer.
I'm a big time gatherer.
I gather breasts for harvest.
I'm always been a picker. Like, yeah. I just grab a little raspberry nipple or two
right.
and go on. This I'm off game with this analogy.
No. You pick berries. I get it. It's funny. That's what nipples seem like, berries.
If not to overcompensate, we said we're going to talk about fantasy novels. Now we're solely talking about tits. Because, you know, the line between jocks and nerds is gone, bro.
We're selling ourselves as nerds for sure.
Yeah.
This breast talk.
Yeah. Right. It's the thing is, like, nerds don't like chicks. It's like they do. This is exactly how they talk about them
in
weird hunter-gatherer metaphor bits.
It makes me think of that part from 40-Year-Old Virgin where they're all talking about chicks and he's like, yeah, I want to touch your breast. Just like bags of sand. Just like big old bags of sand.
And the Mekhi Phifer is just, well, not Mekhi Phifer, Romany Malco. That's just me confusing every black bald actor.
Yeah.
Romany Malco is just the face he makes in that scene makes me laugh the whole time.
What are you talking about? Bags of sand. Hilarious.
Jared, let's nail it down for the listeners.
Yes.
What are we talking about when we say fantasy novels? Because I'm a big time reader. I read a lot of different kinds of books, mm-hmm. way less since moving to California.
Yeah.
And would you say, like, do you have any delineations? Like, do you include sci-fi? When we talk fantasy novels, are you thinking sci-fi?
Well, I think people get very yeah, they get very pedantic about this, and they want to tell you that it's speculative fiction,
ooh,
which covers both science fiction and fantasy.
Wow. Speculative fiction sounds vague enough that it covers so much.
It's weird because you need a word that kind of opens it up to these worlds that are not really they're not really castles and dungeons and swords, but they're also not like spaceships and, like, you know, genetic... Right. Manipulation. They're like these odd worlds that people come up with that are neither nor.
I there's like fantasy and sci-fi, then there's a bunch of books in the middle that would be
right
hard
in this
to...
very center is steampunk,
right? And steampunk is something that I, for all of my nerd over the years of playing D&D, Magic, X-Files, yeah, everything I've ever done, steampunk has always been just a little out of reach for me. I've never
sure.
Is steampunk for people a little older than us?
No, it's for, well, it's gotten really popular with people a bit younger than you and I.
Yeah?
And here's part of the popularity, the part that I don't like, is that it's a kind of a dress-up thing, right? Because with the proliferation of all the conventions, dressing up is very popular. You know, I've always been heavy into this stuff. I never wanted to dress up like I was in it.
No.
There's a lot of judgment oozing in the way I said that.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, if you want to dress up, fucking go for it. But
fuck you if you
fuck
dress
you.
Up.
Yeah, if you want to dress up, put on your fucking outfit. Come into the studio and let Jared and I just dress you down.
That's a bridge too far. I attained puberty in 1995, and at that point, it was not okay.
I could see, though, the thing that didn't want me to make me want to dress up when I was a kid is because I wanted to be cool, and I can never. Yeah. Now that you're older and like have money. I could see how you would build to that. Like, my priorities shifted at some point.
Yeah.
But if you went straight from being like, I love this nerdy shit, to having money, like you get a job after college, like, oh shit, I have money now. I could spend it exactly how I want.
Yeah.
I feel like you would get Iron Man replica armor at that point.
I do want to say, I was joking earlier. If that's what makes you happy, if that what makes you not go out and hurt somebody, then yeah, you go at it. But for me, it's like, I don't know. I think with our obsessions, there does have to be a line. And for some reason, mine is right before I put on a special hat.
I dressed up for the Renaissance Fair this year, which I
was
think...
Was that fun?
It was really fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun. That's a little different because you're going into a world that is like... dressing up at a convention is like... You're Iron Man walking past, you know, Davos, walking past whoever. Walking,
right.
And it's like not... Renaissance Fair, you like enter into the world. Yeah, there's some dudes just there in full Jedi gear for whatever, yeah, reason. Like, there's always somebody who's like steampunk with like a telephone, like a payphone on their back
or something. People do amazing work. I mean, I do admire that. I admire when someone creates an incredible replica of some anime character you've never heard of.
Right. I'm like, oh yeah, I guess giant swords are a thing.
Yeah. That's like for three people that see it and are like, ah, Kunigashi Rono. Yeah,
yeah, oh,
I love,
yeah,
that one.
Big
oh, in demon form too.
That's
wow,
almost what you're going for, right?
Yeah.
When you dress up, because it is like wearing the t-shirt of like an obscure reference. Like for,
yeah,
example, we both have these t-shirts that say Bazinga on them.
Right.
Because we're diehard Big Bang Theory fans.
Right. Now, I will wear a t-shirt occasionally. Wear a t-shirt. Not Bazinga, come on.
But like,
I,
yes,
can do better than that.
You wear like an inside joke t-shirt or, you,
sure,
know, and someone gives you the knowing nod or, hey, I like your shirt.
Yeah.
That extrapolates to being in a full like mech warrior suit and someone, yeah, recognizing who you are.
I'll be like, they're like, oh, you like my shirt. You've heard of the Beatles?
To be fair, Jared has a t-shirt that says the Beatles suck written in Sharpie,
yeah,
on right now.
That's who I feel sorry for at the dress-up conventions is the guy who like is doing it on a budget and he's got just sort of like bad makeup and like a box on his arm.
This is going to be controversial and misogynistic, but the people I love at the con are the women who dress up like the characters, but they don't have the same... You never see a dude... Like, you don't see like a fat Superman.
Oh, well...
I mean, you do.
I don't want to interrupt your riff, but you really do.
You really do, but I feel like they would never wear... Like, a girl... That is wildly overweight might still dress up as Lilu Dallas Multipass,
sure,
whatever. Like dudes have like that layer of like, I don't want to look like that. Like,
yeah,
would you see like a fat, like weird dude in like a tank top? Maybe you would. Yeah. Now we're just riffing.
now we're just getting into our body issues. Yeah.
I'm like, I would never wear. I'm crying.
I've been real down on myself lately.
But what about this outfit, Jared?
We're just trying like, on clothes for
still
each
other. Fat pig.
You're circling my fat with a Sharpie. Thank you, Master. I guess what I'm saying, I love the chicks who are not the size of the character they're dressed up as. I find that to be so awesome. And like, those are my favorite people.
It's
like,
a fantasy. It's not your fan. It's not, they're not thinking of it's your fantasy to look at them. They're thinking it's my fantasy to be this person.
Right, exactly.
It's not for you. It's for them.
Right.
That's what's so interesting to me. It's a costume for the person wearing it, not for the people looking
at it. Yeah, it's almost... It's more of a demonstration of skill than it is of aesthetics,
in
right?
A way,
it's
like, the costume doesn't disguise you. It reveals you.
Oh, shit.
I think we're done.
We got it.
We did it.
We pretty much figured this whole thing out. Yeah. All right, well, we solved cosplaying.
Good.
Let's move on to fantasy novels. So for me, I don't know what the exact genre includes, but for me, the novels I like are... The sword, sorcery, might, magic, wizards, warriors, dungeons, dragons, all of those alliterative phrases. That's the kind of fantasy I like to read. I do read other stuff, but that's the shit that I could read shit Dungeons and Dragons fantasy.
Right, like,
I could just enjoy it for the genre.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that your favorite in that world, or do you have...
Sword and sorcery? Yeah, I would say it is, but I have... I can get pretty niche and specific with this, which is, for some reason, I like stuff that's a bit older. Like, I still read all of Game of Thrones, you know what I mean? But I like Robert Howard, Conan, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that stuff
yeah.
was written in the 30s, the 40s. Yeah. I like Michael Moorcock, Elric. Do you know Elric?
Nope. It sounds familiar. Elric.
Can I quote something for you? This will let you know if you're into Elric.
Do it.
I have the first novel in the Elric series. It's called Elric of Melniboné. And I think I can remember the back of the novel because it's so amazing.
Hit me.
It's like it goes, in the land of sorceress Melniboné, Elric sits upon the ruby throne. An albino kept alive by drugs and magic. His is a path few would choose willingly, a eternal adventure. That's the back of that book.
I am in. That is the, like, that has like six of my favorite keywords up, including albino, magic, drugs.
Yeah.
These are all of my favorite things.
An albino kept alive by drugs and magic.
Now that is like a TMZ headline. Like,
yeah.
That's some like dark shit you hear about in a basement in Detroit or something.
That's right. Yeah,
they had an albino that they kept alive with drugs and magic. Oh, that's awesome. That's really,
that's a great character too. Elric of Melniboné.
I'm into it.
He's out of the 60s. That's the 60s series. And he's like this, he's like part of this race that's older than humanity, and they're kind of decadent. And they're kind of like, they like to fucking use drugs.
I love the shit from the 70s is so obviously from the 70s.
Yeah.
Like, even with comic books, like all the Adam Warlock shit, it's all like, do acid and open your mind's eye to the world.
That's what it is, totally. And he has a sword that steals souls and is horribly cursed. It's like a huge problem for him the entire series. That's a great series.
I'm on board for that because of the world it takes. It doesn't have to be Forgotten Realms for me to enjoy it, but I like the Conan world. I like the sort, like, you know, strength or dexterity, or is it a wizard? You know, like everyone has their specialization.
They say that Conan is, they call that sword and sorcery. See, they really chop it up into subgenres.
Oh, I love this. This is why you're here. By the way.
And then if you're talking about something that's a D&D sort of universe, a Forgotten Realms sort of universe, and of course, all of D&D comes from Tolkien.
Right, yeah.
So if you're talking about that, you're usually talking about high fantasy. High fantasy.
Which is the classic, like, dwarves, elves.
Dwarves, elves.
Wizards,
clerics. Wizards, clerics, exactly. And that's high fantasy. People go, oh, I thought that was epic fantasy. epic fantasy just means it's fucking super long.
Yeah,
so depending on what you think of long, a little bit while why I gravitate to the older stuff, the sword and sorcery stuff, is because you can read one in about a week and a half.
Yeah, it's not like a tome, like the Cleric's Quintet or something.
Yeah,
like that.
And then you can kind of get through them, you know?
Yeah,
and they're kind of written with the same kind of energy and pacing of like a Dashiell Hammett or like a, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
a
Donald Westlake. Like,
it comes fast.
It's a pot boiler with swords and demons, you know?
I'm into that.
I like that shit. But I've read a lot of epic fantasy.
Is there any other
fantasy
delineations? I'm enjoying this high fantasy sword and sorcery.
Well, let's see. Of course, you've got your licensed tie-ins.
Yeah,
right?
Of course,
So, I mean, but there's been great work in that field. Have you read the Margaret Wise, Tracy Hickman Dragonlance novels?
No.
Oh, they're fucking fantastic. Well, they were when I was 15.
Right.
If I go back now, I don't know.
Let's just tell that to the audience. If you're listening, we are not experts. We are not.
Right.
We are wildly, we have no research materials.
I have to admit to you right now, I made up every name I've just mentioned.
Yeah, and I'm going, sounds great, sounds great.
That sounds true. No, I haven't. I'm pretty sure I'm right about what I've said so far. So yeah. They wrote a series of novels based on their Dungeons & Dragons campaign set in the Dragonlance universe, which is one of the mini universes that the TSR Dungeons & Dragons
provided.
Yeah,
I've read some Dragonlance universe novels like the seasonal dragon novels like Dragons of Winter.
That's them.
Oh, that.
So
yeah.
You've read them.
Yeah, so I have read them.
They're great.
They're fucking awesome.
They move. They've got all kinds of cool characters.
Yes, yes.
They've got like a R2-D2 C-3PO kind of guys. I mean, they're not robots, but there's like a dwarf and a kender who are kind of like comic relief.
Yes.
They go off on their own all the time.
Yeah, I remember this.
The Red Mage Raistlin?
Nope.
Okay, so there's twins, and one is a red mage. Red mages are neutral. Sometimes they do good things, sometimes they do bad shit.
That's classic Final Fantasy I. That's 8-bit Final Fantasy, red, white, and black mages.
Yeah. And then Raistlin is the red mage, and he's always a little bit like maybe going to make the wrong choice because he's neutral. And his brother is Caramon, who's just this big, really friendly, like good warrior guy who takes care of his wasting wizard brother. It's awesome.
Yeah, dude, I loved those books. I read those. I remember reading those. I lived in like, I wasn't even living in my childhood home at that point. I must have read them when I was like 12 or something like
and
that.
I think that they're so good. Well, they're based on the role playing campaign that someone had. I think even Margaret Wise and Tracy Hickman were involved in the campaign. And then, so that's good. But I also feel like when you were reading those, they were so close to Star Wars in a way, right? Like, people still remembered what was good about Star Wars when they were written, which is basically like, what's cool about Star Wars to me is everybody is together at the beginning of the story and they're like, oh no, we have a huge problem, you go there, I'll go here, get over there, stop that,
I'll take care of it.
When like Justice League is good, it's like that, right? So then everybody splits up, they're all having crazy fucking shit happens.
Everyone's growing as a character.
Everyone's growing. It's
literally
mixed
in these fantasy novels, gaining levels, gaining magic items, right? Getting
and it's like mixed doubles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, how's he gonna get along with him this time? And then you wait for them to come back together, and they always come back together at some kind of big battle or something like that. And it's so satisfying. And George R. R. Martin,
those
kind
are
of
by the way the best
it that
Justice
way,
League
and then just never brought them back together.
Yeah, we're
and
like
just killed them.
We're gonna be in like 75 books in, and it's like, and then Jon Snow finally meets Tyrion.
Yeah. Well, he's not going to meet anybody.
Well, we'll see.
He did. I think he's dead.
Yeah, I love that. What got you here? I'll tell you. Star Wars is obviously a soft gateway drug into anything in that world. When you're like,
sure.
When you start liking lightsabers because you're a kid and they're swords that cut through everything, then you start liking swords, then there's like the chivalry of the Jedi world, then it's knights, it transfers pretty easily. So when you I didn't think of Star Wars as my, because I liked Star Wars before I liked D&D. When you said Star Wars just there, I was like, oh shit, that is like a lot of the same things of like same storytelling, same like father's evil, like
yeah.
I mean those are all classic Conrad-esque stories, but
Yeah.
It's that is got to be part of my gateway into fantasy. Is
Star Wars has no science in it. It's funny that they call it science fiction.
Right.
So anti-science.
Yes, it actually takes place in the past, so it's not even a future.
Yeah,
right?
It's a robot, I guess. It's basically like a spirit or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At no point do they talk about how the science of any of it works.
Right.
It's just all fun. They call that soft science fiction.
Right, where you don't really justify a lot of the stuff. Where it's not some science fiction, I feel like, is very heavy on the science, and like they love that.
That's hard science fiction, and then Star Wars is because it's a hyperdrive, I mean, the ultimate because of the Force,
right? Right.
The Force, which literally doesn't even have a description.
Yeah, it's just
the Force.
Yeah, right. And then
what's it do? Well, it can do mind stuff, but it can also have lasers. But it's also invisibility. But it can also be you turn into a car. What?
Yeah,
it can
it's
do
telepathy.
Anything.
It's confusing for other people.
Everything.
You can feel when millions of people die. That's helpful.
It can make you a good swordsman.
Right.
Okay. Everything.
That is a very... The Force is magic, but magic in any fantasy world is more defined than the Force is.
It really is. In any good fantasy world. I just want one more thing about Star Wars before we move on is I think that reading The Lord of the Rings, if you were a kid raised on Star Wars, it makes it a little disappointing because you're sold The Lord of the Rings at one point, like it's an epic adventure. And then it's not like reading Star Wars with elves. It's like reading Beowulf with elves.
It really is not.
The Epic of Gilgamesh with elves. It's
the Hobbit is the Lord of the Rings is not as good. I mean, it is so good. It's so everything that I always like, but it wasn't the first fantasy book I read.
Right.
I had read like way more popcorn fantasy books before that. So when I read that, I was like, this does feel a little like homework.
Yeah. We read the dumber ones first and it ruined us for it a little bit.
Right. Exactly. You know? No, I want fucking heads split open.
Yeah.
You know, instead it's like, this is very interesting character building. I don't give a fuck about that. Where's the dragon made out of bones? That's a necromancer rides. And actually that is in Lord of the Rings. Never mind. Check.
Is that really?
Is that the Ringwraiths, Nazgul kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. They are kind of like on like skeletal steeds or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, Lord of the Rings, what I think it's really, really, really good at is making you feel like it's a real world because he really did make a full world.
Yeah, like, it's almost like the world came first.
The
language, the history, all that shit. That's so...
I mean, now you get me going. Can I tell you my Lord of the Rings theory?
Oh, God, I'd love this.
So, of course, we just said we don't remember everything. All I know is that I think that Tolkien was a friend of some famous poet or novelist. And at one point, there's a story that the novelist went over to Tolkien and saw that Tolkien had created this whole language and all these maps and this whole fucking world. And he was like, hey, you got to turn this into, you know, like a story now because all you're doing is making this thing.
You're just making a D&D campaign that no one is going to play.
That no one's playing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all for you by yourself, right? And it took him a long time to get from The Hobbit to finishing the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I mean, many years of his life. I think it's something like 20 years or something like that. And you got to think he was like living with this thing for 20 years. It like consumed him. And the story of the Lord of the Rings is like about there's this thing and you've got to throw it in the fucking mountain and get rid of it.
Yeah, and if every moment you hold on to it beats you up more and more inside.
Right, because...
Oh, that's weird.
We saw what happened to Gollum, who is essentially... looks like someone who didn't leave their house in a while
because
they were working on an epic fantasy story.
A programmer or a writer who I've been blocked.
Yes. I think he's the main character of The Lord of the Rings. I think he's the Tolkien character, Gollum.
I'm about to do Yoda instead
of
Gollum.
Yeah, no, close.
Master is tricksy.
Hobbits is come.
Yeah.
Fish heads, roly roly fish heads.
And people don't know this. Tolkien would eat raw fish by biting the head off.
And could turn invisible, and that made hell for the PR.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah, it was weird that he had that power.
So before I read Lord of the Rings, I started playing D&D, and you know, Star Wars was always in that. And then I picked up a book, the Icewind Dale trilogy.
Yeah.
And it's in the Forgotten Realms world, starring probably one... one of the most famous of these high fantasy characters.
Yes.
Drizzt Do'Urden.
Drizzt Do'Urden.
Dro-Elf Ranger.
Yes.
And that book, I think the first one's called The Halfling's Gem or The Crystal Shard. One of those two, or those are two of the names of the book. From that trilogy on, I've never not read a R.A. Salvatore. I've read all of R.A. Salvatore's books.
You know, I actually haven't read any Salvatore. My brother reads everything. So he's read Drizzt Do'Urden.
Yeah.
All I know about the tie-in books is sometimes they make me laugh a little bit because they'll just like make, like, if you're like a heavy gamer, they're kind of like winking at you. Like, this is the information that you need. Like, you know, in Drizzt Do'Urden stories, I think they always make kind of a deal of the fact that he's a dual wielding.
Yes. They always talk about his dual wielding, which is a ranger skill. And they like mention he learned from his ranger training, which is like the most, and there's a very much a heavy hand towards magic items in, like, with this sword, he's able to, you know, icing death. What? Unbeknownst to him, it glows blue when a blank, you know, it's and it just reveals properties. But that scratches a very, like, that scratches your first, your MMORPG itch that you need, where you're like, oh, like, there's a, this is not a spoiler because I can't even name the book it happens in, but at one point, Drizzt meets his match in another swordsman. He's faster than everyone. He has bracers that increase his speed a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's still not enough. He's still, but then he, before the battle, he puts the bracers on his ankles and his footwork increases and it changes the whole game. I'm like, this is like a Skyrim hack. It's like, instead wear the boots of plus two.
It's Dexter. So codified. You know what I mean? Like, you know that there was like some kid read it and was like, this is why I can do that in the game today.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Well, and that's and
yelling at his dungeon master. Look at the
Drizzt
pain.
Drizzt put him on his ankle.
Drizzt did it.
Trust me. Add an addendum. And in those books too, he's teams up with a halfling thief, a dwarven fighter, a barbarian, and then his girlfriend Caddy Bree, who's an archer / amateur mage.
Okay,
so it's like it's a party as well. It's like built the most and that's all I needed to. And I read, and then from there it just spiraled outwards of like going to Barnes & Noble, not seeing any other R.A. Salvatore books or Drizzt books, and being like, Ed Greenwood, okay, like, you know, like, I'll try this next. But always in that high fantasy, in the, what's the term you used for like the Forgotten Realms or Dragonlance books?
Well, it's a licensed
because it's in
property.
That world,
yeah,
where it's like Elminster the Sage is referenced in every Forgotten Realms
book. And I just love any kind of like meeting where someone was like, Elminster wouldn't do that, so you need to take it out of the book.
Yeah, it's like weird Marvel continuity.
Yeah, it's like,
it's like we gotta set up Elminster in this because we need him for the Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah, I mean, that's sometimes that's a little bit why I like the older stuff, because those guys like never had a hard and fast rule.
Yeah,
like they would just be like, I don't know how it works, or they would change it from book to book. Yeah. Like, he's blonde now. Sorry, I forgot I was drunk.
Yeah, like characters are just blind warriors for one whole book, and then not blind.
I write one of these per month. Yeah. So yeah, I forgot.
I crank this garbage out for you monsters.
It's not garbage. It's
no,
good.
No,
it's
no.
The best.
Once, and I think the only thing people would have a problem with if they didn't read fiction, if they don't read fantasy, is the names.
Mm-hmm.
Names are the thing that guff everyone up.
Oh, even when, a minute ago you said dro, and I was like, you know, the asshole nerd in me was like, I believe it's drow.
Drow.
But maybe I'm wrong. That's just how my group of virgins said it.
Yeah, my group of virgins said dro. But it's that's really funny you say that, because a lot of these things are never said out loud.
Yeah.
And so they're only in your head. I always use this example. I said Hermione until I saw the Harry Potter movie.
Oh,
I was
my
God, it's not that.
Yeah.
And then that's happened a couple of times since where I'm like, whose name? I definitely said so many different people's names different on Game of Thrones, on A Song of Ice and Fire in my mind. Because you just blow past it. You're like, Tyron, got it.
Yeah. Tyron.
Like, yeah.
Done.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Fans of Game of Thrones and yours truly, I'm here to tell you guys about shaving, man. I used to shave with a razor so old it looked like a rusty prison toothbrush shank, and I just didn't want to buy new razors because I don't have that much money. This podcast isn't that successful yet. So what I did was I joined DollarShaveClub.com, and it changed everything, man. I shave with a fresh blade whenever I want.
You get a whole sleeve of amazing razors, just a few bucks. Could change a blade as often you want. Shaving with a fresh blade is so... And now I know what you're saying to yourself right now. Gabrus, you have a beard and you've always had a beard. Yeah, I know I have a beard, but I'll tell you what. I got a neck, and more importantly, I got balls. And I don't like any hair down there because it's an old restaurant trick that small potatoes make the steak look bigger. And I'm not about to use a rusty razor down in my old rusty area down there. So... I highly recommend joining Dollar Shave Club, dude. You don't get price gouged anymore. You don't have to squeeze out as many shaves as you possibly can from one razor. You can change it frequently. So you can upgrade to shaving with a fresh blade whenever you want. It's a luxury and one-third the price. So join me, all the people here at HeadGum, and millions of others who figured out the smarter way to shave. Join Dollar Shave Club right now by going to dollarshaveclub.com/mighty. Notice I didn't say backslash. I've been getting some feedback that it's not truly a backslash, it's a forward slash. Well, I'll tell you what, if you put in a backslash, 10 to 1 says you can still get to the website. But for the record, that's dollarshaveclub.com/mighty. All right, let's talk about fantasy.
Now I can't remember what their faces looked like in my head. That's one thing I always hate about when they make it into a movie or something.
It backburns it. Whatever that expression. I love you take that verb as well.
No, that feels right. It
retroactively
what
reformats.
Your mind had made.
100%. And I'm mad. Like, I didn't love the Hobbit movies.
Yeah, they were I didn't either.
I enjoy fantasy action in like Battle for Five Armies, Battle of the Five Armies. Great. That's a fun movie.
Yeah.
It's great. But in my head, I'm like, oh man, now everything, that's who I see when I think of The Hobbit now, instead of what I originally thought.
I thought there were so many problems. I think if you're going to do a film, you really got to make it all very fleshy and real and kind of down to earth, even if it's a fantasy. I think that's what worked about the Lord of the Rings films that he did.
Right.
And these films had all this like crazy physics, like just in the first one where they're jumping around in that goblin, like in the mountains.
In the barrel race.
Falling off of bridges and jumping on other bridges, and you're like, they're not moving like people.
It loses stakes. You're like, oh, you can just leap off a building and be okay? Yeah. Then like, how can you not lose a fight?
Like Roadrunner. It's like they got
to be cartoony. That's what you like about the, like, because also Viggo Mortensen brings like gravitas to everything, God. Where you're like, this dude's really having a hard time out there.
He's like a dark star pulling matter toward him.
He is Elistar, the elf stone of Dunedin.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Fuck Viggo.
I would watch him in anything.
Oh, Viggo. I just watched randomly A History of Violence was on the other day.
Yeah.
Like, when I was putting on a TV show to leave on for my dog while I left you, LA has changed me. And,
yeah.
And I was like, oh, History of Violence. And then I just was like, had like 20 minutes to burn. And I'm like, fuck, man, Viggo is so good. Yes, yeah. Has he been in anything recently?
When you came home, was your dog like covered in tattoos doing push-ups?
my dog was in a cheerleading outfit like Maria Bello. And that's also another scene burned in my head is Maria Bello puts on a cheerleading outfit.
Ooh. Yeah, he was the perfect choice for Aragorn. He was awesome.
What amazing cast. Yeah. So now I'm going to pick your brain a little bit.
Sure.
We found out that you're a fantasy novel guy is we were both shooting a nerdy game show thing for College Humor with Mike Trapp. And I overheard you, Pat Castles, and Adam Conover, friends of the show, talking about fantasy novels. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't even speak this shit out loud. It felt like, you know, you heard like hearing one specific when someone says like, well, you know, Snow Crash, blah, blah. And you're like, wait, what?
Snow Crash?
Yeah. And you're like,
you know about that?
Exactly. And you're like, are you guys talking about Snow Crash? You know, and it's like, let's get into it.
See,
and so then I found out you were diehard. Like,
I'm diehard. I think it shows that you're a little bit of an older fan because it used to be that you kind of kept it to yourself a little bit. I mean, some people listening might not believe this, but you really did kind of like shut up about it a little bit.
We called
back in the day.
We called D&D Dunkin' Donuts at school so we could speak about it in front of people.
Playing basketball, we called it. Do you want to play basketball?
It's just
everyone
like
knew
three
we
kids
playing
with
basketball.
Three dumpy kids with asthma going, we have basketball yeah, practice tonight.
It looks
tonight.
Like you guys drink a lot of Mountain Dew when you play basketball.
Hey, yeah. You guys all have brittle bones? Yeah. There's no way you should be jumping?
Yeah.
Yeah, we would be like, are we going to Dunkin' Donuts after school today? It's like, yes, we are. And it's Friday, so we're going to eat at Dunkin' Donuts all night. We're like, nice. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
Man, I miss D&D. That's a after.
Well, if you want to play, I run games.
Oh god,
all the time.
Oh god,
and I run like you know really simple games, so you don't have to devote your life to it. You come in, you play, and also actually, John Roy, you know John, he's looking for a player for his 5th edition game.
Ooh,
that's the new edition.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten into that yet. I played a little
bit
with
character for it.
Ooh, that's fun.
He's a druid.
Ooh.
But he's like more of like a fighting druid, so all of the spells I gave him are like he can sense like a weakness in you to use, you know, to attack you. You know what I mean? Awesome.
Yeah, druids are like tree warriors, is what how I always remember them. Yeah, like the forest warrior.
My guy,
like a
worships,
step past ranger. They're more magical than rangers.
Yeah,
right?
My guy worships the white lion. I decided. I don't know what that means.
My last campaign was my character's name was Lager Brewerhead, heir to the Brewerhead fortune.
Nice.
My dad was a beer maker. And I was a drunken dwarven fighter whose family cast him out because he would just get into drunken brawls. And it's like, you have to go become a man before you can run the
That's
brewery.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm such a hard on right now. I miss D&D so much. Dude,
come play.
I fucking will.
I really make it like, 4 hours. Play for about 4 hours.
Yeah,
that'll
blocking
usually
it.
Do you, you know?
Yeah, that's plenty.
Well,
scratch that itch.
When we first started 3 or 4 years ago when I was running like 4th edition D&D, you had to play for like 7 hours.
Right.
In order to like get to the end of like a story.
Yeah,
or
to just
like
kill
that.
The last kobold and get
right.
the treasure. Yeah,
yeah, and I was like, I gotta fix this. So I read this it's really an ebook. It's only an ebook. It's called The Lazy Dungeon Master. And this guy's awesome. He's just like, it should not take that long, and it should just be fun. And
so
he's
it's like
a
streamlining of...
Yeah, he just gives you advice. He's like, just come up with like 3 things like this, and then a thing like this, and then just improvise it. And he's like, you can improvise it. Just make it up. And I do more of that now, and it's way more fun because I'm not trying to get certain things to happen as the game master.
Right, and then you're like, no, why don't we... What the NPC says we should definitely go into the cave.
Right, I'm also just seeing what's going to happen.
Right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
So I have the stats on some stuff, and we just go.
Oh, that's fun, yeah.
It's really fun.
That I played in a way more laid-back game recently, and it was... When you don't have to play by, like, every fucking rule, it's really fun, and it's kind of like... We like killed the captain of the guard that we were supposed to like work for. And then like the DM, Charlie Sanders, shout out right here. Charlie just like rolled with it right away and was like, all right, yeah. So now you guys are villains. Everyone in the town hates you. This is the life you got to live now. And it's like change, just downshifted the story right there. It was so fun.
That's great. And the whole point of it, the only thing it has over video games, the only thing is that you can go and do anything you want.
Right.
Even in Skyrim, which gives you almost the most amount of choices you could have, you still can't do literally anything you want.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like when you're fighting a dragon, you have to just slash it or just shoot it.
Right.
Like in D&D, you could be like, I run behind, leap on its tail,
right.
You know, roll for dexterity checks. Yeah.
Yeah. So if that's the only advantage, that should be the thing you're pushing the whole time.
Right, or else let's just
games.
All go home and play Diablo together.
Exactly, which is also fun in its own way.
Yeah,
you
don't
know?
To...
yeah.
So I need, as an elder statesman, as someone who's slightly more read, I need some recos. Knowing that high fantasy is probably my favorite, but I'm open to... I've never even read any of the... I said Snow Crash before just as a keyword, but I've never read... That's Neal Stephenson?
That's Neal Stephenson.
I never read
that's
any
his
of...
first.
That's his first, right?
And like, it's cyber. That's cyberpunk.
That's his... Like, I remember playing a... Like RPG, like a tabletop, like cyberpunk alt version.
Which
of...
Which one was it? Shadowrun?
Shadowrun, yes.
Shadowrun's such a weird universe. It's cyberpunk. It's basically, you know, William Gibson Neuromancer or Neal Stephenson's Snow Crash. But also, there's this whole thing where magic has returned to the earth. So there's also dwarves and elves and sorcery and shaman and stuff like that. It's just like,
hey, what do you like about role playing? We'll just put it in this fucking like thing.
Everything yeah. is also, in this.
There's the Matrix.
Yeah. I was always a little annoyed at Shadowrun because it was so many fucking rules, because they were like, these are the rules for computer hacking. These are the rules for atomic missiles. These are the rules for spells. There's spells because there's everything.
Yeah.
So they're just like, here's an exhaustive list of rules for every possible thing that you could put in a game.
I played some game recently. I feel like it was called Magic. No, it wasn't Magic, because that would be Magic the Gathering. It was something where... Oh, fuck, I wish I could remember the name of it. But we just like rolled 5 6-sided dice for everything. And it was like a world where you had only some people had some access to the magic world. Like Rift? Nope, that wasn't it.
Rifts? Really?
No, I don't.
Rifts is a old game. Pretty popular in the 90s. From the Palladium was the name of the company. And Rifts was, again, it was the similar universe. It was like these doors to different dimensions that opened, and the earth became a battleground of vampires, robots, sorcerers, Greek gods, Cthulhu
monsters. I did play Rifts when I was a kid. I remember that now. Or at least we used to buy those expansions or those like things to be like, this is what we're going to play next. And then we're like, I don't like read the rules, and you're like, let's just play D&D.
Yeah, you know, the thing that's crazy is as an adult, I've been going through all those games I used to have, buying them again, and then figuring out how to, and finally playing them, you know?
Oh, that's...
And maybe I only play one session, but I get to scratch that itch and get it done.
Oh, that's so awesome. Because I've thought about doing that, because we tried the Star Wars role-playing game. We tried, we've tried all of those as kids, and we just maybe weren't smart enough or had the attentions. I mean, I don't know if I'm still smart enough to have the attention span, but I would want to try to do that.
The rules are pretty complicated for kids. I think sometimes you played them wrong and it didn't matter, you know?
That's the other thing, too. I'm like, I could look through the second player, the second edition player's handbook right now, AD&D, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, we bastardized it. Oh, we definitely did this wrong. Oh, yeah. This is definitely in favor of play. Like, we would do things that were like, but would made it more fun as kids, you know? Like,
totally, yeah. Damn, yeah. So, yeah, I'm going through all the old games that I had and playing all of them. I have 3 or 4 that I haven't played yet that I really want to play.
Oh, that's fun, man.
But I've done a lot of them. Yeah. Done a lot of them.
I picture, like, the best, weirdest box art stacked up in your apartment here.
Oh, yeah. And my favorite game is Call of Cthulhu, which is based on H.P. Lovecraft, Call of Cthulhu.
Yep. Also, a world I know of and never read or know anything about.
I see the
adjective Lovecraftian places, and it doesn't register anything.
It's dork stuff for depressed kids.
Is it?
People that I know that always loved Lovecraft had like something was rough. You know what I mean? Because it's like the whole point of Lovecraft is there is no Jesus. There is no God. It is an uncaring universe filled with alien beings that don't care if you live or die.
And that's who Cthulhu is?
Cthulhu is a massive ancient alien entity who doesn't even know you're there, but if he awakens, the earth will just fall into the apocalyptic chaos.
And they look a lot like the D&D Mind Flayer, right?
Well, actually, Mind Flayer stole it from Cthulhu.
I'm assuming that's where it stole it from. Because there's Mind Flayer is so... And then Zoidberg from Futurama is the next iteration.
He has the tentacle. He has the squid head. Hey, you know what, though? If you read the original story, again, like I said, you know, that old stuff, it was written in like the 20s. He says one time it looks kind of like a squid, but then he says it looks like something else over here and something else over here.
And then artwork retroactively, like as someone makes a painting of the cover
of a book.
Someone
was like, draw it. And he was like, got it. And then everybody based it on that guy's thing.
Right. That's what Cthulhu is.
Yeah. And now it's a plush toy. But if you go back to the original stuff, it's just all over the place. And it's more about the fact that it's scary, not about that it's, you know, a squid head, a giant squid head, giant Godzilla monster.
Is the Lovecraft world a huge... Is there like a lot of books in that world? Or is it
many. Because, you know, he was the first person to have a shared universe. So he was the first person to go, hey, would you guys also like to write about these specific creatures and gods and things that I've made up?
Oh, wow.
And so he would write letters with like guys who were like 16 years old. And they'd be like, can I write in your universe? And he'd be like, course you can. So, you know, before the Marvel Universe, before really there was even a DC Universe, there was Lovecraft's Universe.
Oh,
where
cool.
all these different writers have been writing in it since the 20s.
Oh, that's awesome.
Some of them pretty famous. Well, Robert Howard, the guy that created Conan, also wrote in that universe. He has some stories that are kind of like Lovecraft-type stories.
Oh, that's... Wait, so if I wanted to get into Lovecraft, where should I start there?
That's a great question. I think that the Dunwich Horror is a good way to get in.
Chris, the engineer, is literally really, nodding his head along as you say
it. you can't really go wrong with the Call of Cthulhu, really,
right.
But I think I don't tell people that because they already have this image of Cthulhu in their head.
Right. And
so I say go with the Dunwich Horror, go with the Shadow over Innsmouth.
Okay. Oh, you know? Yeah, of course, Innsmouth.
Do you know about the Shadow
no,
over Innsmouth?
Not, sorry. Oh. I didn't mean to be sarcastic.
No, it's hilarious. No. Yeah. I'm glad that some people still don't know this stuff because it's still there for you to discover.
Right. That's what excited me the most is when I was like, yeah, I read a lot of fantasy. Then you're like, oh, have you read this? I was like, no.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, dude, there's so much more out there. So,
yeah, now that's really horror. I'm sorry. I got off fantasy. I need to answer your question.
Yeah,
that
counts as a recommendation for me. Yeah,
but I really want everybody to read that stuff, especially if you like horror, like just fucked up universes. But in terms of an epic fantasy or high fantasy, this is not at all elves and dwarves, really, but there's this series I like by this guy named Steven Erikson. What's it called? I can't remember the name of the series right now, but it's really like out of control. Like his universe is so weird. It is swords and fighting and like gods and monsters, but it's like the book opens and then like someone's soul gets thrown into a puppet and then he doesn't go, this is how that worked and why that happened. He's just like, that happened now. And then there's like a guy who is like kind of half evil, but sometimes he's good. He's got a flying castle. And then all of the magic works by these gods and these other dimensions, and you're always kind of borrowing your magic from them, but then sometimes things can go wrong with them or they can get wounded and then your magic gets all fucked up.
For the listeners, Jared is dripping sweat standing over the microphone.
The first book is called Gardens of the Moon. The second one's called Deadhouse Gates.
Steven Erikson.
It is some of the most dense and hard to access epic fantasy you can possibly read. It's like you have to kind of just go, well, I didn't understand that. I'm going to keep going.
The fact that you just, I'm getting like recognition chills right now. That is one of the things that I've learned from fantasy reading that has helped me read books where you're like, don't get caught up in this paragraph.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is very confusing, but I feel like you could just read for another 10 pages,
right,
and then that gets explained.
Right.
And I've learned that to the point where, like, I now, like, I'll be watching a movie with my wife, and she'll be like, what's going on? And I'll be like, just wait. We're smart enough. They'll explain it.
That's exactly what my wife is like. That's why she always has a problem with speculative fiction stuff. Because
right.
We'll be watching a movie that's a sci-fi or a fantasy movie or something, and she'll just pause it and be like, wait, he can talk directly into their minds? And you're like, just yes.
Yeah, it's...
She has to like stop and go, what is that?
Right.
She's not used to the tropes.
Right, exactly. And that fantasy has taught me, like, even when I'm reading any book now, I'm just like, yeah, I'll figure it out. Who's this character? Wait, what are they referring to? His name will come up again. And I'll see it again. And then you're like, oh, yeah, that's... And if you would... You can bail on a paragraph.
Yeah.
Like, if I didn't know about fantasy, if I didn't have... Going in to read A Song of Ice and Fire, if I didn't have a background in reading fantasy, I would blow it off after like the third Sansa chapter.
Right.
But you're like, no, you can get through it. Yeah.
These Erikson books are so amazing. Like, you can read them pretty quickly, but they're so weird and that none of the stuff is like stuff you've seen before. It's truly unique. I think he's a little crazy. His bad guys in the third book are, they make you want to vomit. They're so awful. They are this army where after they've slaughtered like an opposing army, these crazy women come in and fuck the corpses. And then they have these corpse babies who become like these cannibal shock troops that are sent ahead of the army. Like, and that's...
I am... erect with excitement
it's
to read
so,
this.
It's so, but it's, I've never really read something like that. And it is this thing where you kind of have to go, okay, I didn't really get that paragraph. Let's keep going. You know?
Right. That's so funny you said, like, you, I just recognized that trait in me from you bringing that up.
I just remember the name of the series, The Malazan Book of the Fallen.
Okay. Well, that's the name of the series. Forgive you for forgetting the name of the series.
I'm glad I remembered
Everything
it.
Is always like a mouthful. It's like, don't forget to read The Theory of the Crystal Shard. You know, it's always like, I got to say this shit out loud.
It's just, I love it. The Malazan Book of the Fallen. It just sounds so awesome.
I'm going to throw a reco back at you while we're here, because this is one of my new favorites and very good entry level fantasy for the listener. Joe Abercrombie.
Yeah.
I think it's called The Book of Law is the trilogy
name.
The
Book of Law trilogy, The Blade Itself.
The Blade Itself is the first one. Oh. So you read these?
I read the first one. So my confession is I often read the first of a series and go, okay, I'll get back to that later, and then
never
100 books later.
Let me tell you, great series. That trilogy itself is really good.
Yeah.
And then he has three other novels
that
are in the world that don't directly reference these characters.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like characters you read about, because there's a lot of like legendary warriors is like this big part of this world, Abercrombie's world, like so-and-so is there. And then like the other three books, which are like In Cold Blood, Heroes, and something else.
Yeah.
Is like...
Truman Capote is In Cold Blood as part right. of this.
It's
it
best
ties of- in. It's weird. You got to read Capote to get this.
He's got In Cold Blood, Catcher in the Rye, and Wuthering Heights. Those are his three fantasy.
Yeah, sure.
We just trick kids into doing homework on this podcast.
Right.
We're like, if you like fantasy, you're going to love Of Mice and Men.
Yeah, Chinua Achebe's Things Fall Apart.
Yeah. Best Served Cold. You made that's what it
best
is.
Best Served Cold.
So
okay.
These other three books are just three separate really awesome stories that take place in the same world, and you're just informed enough that when they reference something, you're like, oh yeah, I know it. It's such a fun universe that, but it isn't like continuity is imperative to the storytelling.
That's great.
And
I love that.
He's Abercrombie is funny.
Yeah,
like his main character is very funny and writes very good violence.
Yes,
like
excellent.
Very good violence.
And all of the characters, at least what I know from the first book, are kind of like the deconstructions. That's a nerdy way to say it. They're just not what you'd expect. Like the barbarian is such a good survivor that he's kind of a coward, right?
Right. Like right. He's like
totally
an
opportunist.
Scumbag.
Yeah.
He's an absolute scumbag.
Yeah.
And, in a good way. Yeah.
And then there's an inquisitor character who is a awful person in many ways.
Right. It's a wizard. Like, and the way they treat magic in this world too is that like most people don't believe in it.
Yeah.
And it's like that's such a fun. That's how it should be.
Yeah.
Is that like the peasants, the dumber people don't believe. And one of the other books is one of those other three I mentioned is just, I think it's called Heroes, mm-hmm. something like that, is just
Heroes Die, maybe.
Yes. And it's just one huge battle.
That's
and
cool.
And it's fucking awesome. And it's like the strategy behind it, going inside to like on the micro level of the
what
actual
a great
fight.
Idea for a novel, and I haven't heard that before. All of these epic fantasy books have battles in them, but you always feel like you didn't get the whole story of the battle.
Right.
You're just following the one guy. That's a smart way to do
it's
that.
It's such an awesome way to do it, because it is like, it's like the bridge over the River Kwai, but with it literally is like a group, one tribe's trying to hold this mountain and one tribe is trying to take it. And then it's like all the politics, they zoom out, you see the politics of what's going on, then zoom back into little micro fights. And so it's fucking great.
I love
that. Diehard fan of Abercrombie.
Yeah.
And apparently he's got a new series out, but it's more YA called like Half a King. I bought it, but I haven't started it yet.
Well, I mean, I got to get back into those books because I loved the first one, and then I'm just I have such AD&D with my reading.
Yeah, yeah.
That I just never got back.
You just said AD&D.
I have so much
Advanced Dungeons and Dragons. Dude, we got the pump is primed.
Yeah.
So why don't hit me back with another record.
I love a guy named R. Scott Baker. And he wrote a series, I think it's called the Prince of Nothing series, The first book is called The Darkness That Comes Before.
I wish we could just pull out every specific we said, every title or every proper noun.
Do a
and just have
cut.
A list of it. Yeah, like a super cut. Just a list of all the proper nouns we've said in this podcast would insane. So what is it? The Prince of Nothing?
The Prince of Nothing trilogy. It is about a crusade. And I read some books about the Crusades because this book was so good that I wanted to read about the real Crusades. And that's amazing. But this is an amazing thing in and of itself. It's about this crusade, and there's something going on in the background. Maybe these warriors are being manipulated to go and attack this opposing kingdom. And is
political.
It these ancient evil like race that nobody believes in anymore, much like the magic from Abercrombie? It is extremely dark, this series, and like really serious, but it pulls it off. And
oh, that's fun.
One of the main characters is this monk who has been trained to have such clear thinking that he has complete and total control over every facial expression that he makes, the way he breathes, the way he moves, so that he kind of has mind control over everybody around him and can always like predict the next move they're going to make.
Justified how he's one step ahead of everyone.
Right. And the only person that's immune is this like barbarian who doesn't know
social
manners.
Grade.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah.
That is such a fun. So I just read this other trilogy that was really good called the Brilliance Trilogy. Marcus Sakin. It's not a fantasy. It's not high fantasy, but it is like, it's pretty much what if X-Men were real? People start being born gifted. They just, 1% of the population happens to have this weird genetic thing, and they have minor class 4 gifted, you know, and the main character in that, the guy you're following, has just very good situational awareness.
Yeah.
He can like read body language and he's like, Jared's right knee is tensed. He's going to make that way. I can head him off at the pass if I leave. And it's like, choosing that power and analyzing, breaking that down is such an awesome way to like just justify, I'm a badass. Like I'm faster and stronger or whatever. Yeah.
Well, it's more book appropriate too, right?
It reads better than you would see. Yeah.
You'd never see it on a comic book page, really. You never really even, it would be tough to do it in a movie. You'd have to do a lot of slow down and fast forward.
It would be like that HUD
slash
bullet time kind of thing.
Totally.
Like, you'll be stepping here. They tried to do it with that movie Green Hornet.
There
was like one sequence where Kato sort of does a, like that scene outside the car. I remember it because I was like, this is the most Michel Gondry moment of this film.
Yeah.
And this is the best part of the movie. And nothing else was even near there.
Dude, I for some reason I like that movie. That's one of Jared's picks.
You heard it here. If you take away any recommendations from this podcast, please watch The Green Hornet.
I have to admit that really anytime I do a podcast, I'm really doing my own podcast, Jared's Picks.
Well, to be fair, this one, the dynamic was set up that this is Jared's picks.
I knew, it was perfect.
So Jared's picks, we got Prince of Nothing.
The Prince of Nothing, R. Scott Baker.
By the way, fantasy authors' names, so great.
R.A.
Salvatore.
Yeah.
Orson Scott Card, you know, like.
Yeah, what would your fantasy novel name be, if novelist name?
Oh, that's great.
Actually, you're probably fine. John Gabris sounds I would read a hefty paperback by John Gabris.
My middle name is James, so if I were J.J. Gabris sounds very like 80s hip-hop-y, but on a picture, like on a cover with a dragon breathing fire onto a barbarian holding a shield, J.J. Gabris.
That's great.
Yeah, it's a little more regal sounding. Logan Jared, I think, is
Logan Jarrettson.
Yes, Logan Jarrettson. And ending with like the same like alliterative ending.
Yeah.
Logan Jarrettson.
I love it.
Logan is such like Jared Logan, by the way, the name Jared Logan itself is the identity name of 50 super, like that's such, it's like so powerful but generic at the same time.
It's
in a weird
great.
Way
it, I've always liked it.
It's a great name.
Generic without being generic. Yeah.
Yeah. It, that's exactly what it is. It's like,
I sound conceited about my name, but I really am. I think it's a great name.
I agree. Literally, when I typed in Jared Logan in Gmail to email you, I was like, Jared Logan is blank enough that it would be Daredevil's real name. You know, obviously, but at the same time, it's those guys always have the Clark Kent.
Yeah.
You know, it's always like a very strong name, but it sounds plain.
But it sounds
Logan is one of those, like, when wielded correctly.
Unadorned. Yeah. Well, I mean, especially in this age where everybody names their kid, like, you know, Pianoforte and Al Wing. And
my friend's name is Bob. His birth certificate says Bob. His parents just named him Bob.
Wow.
And his wife's a teacher, and she has four Masons in their class. In the graduating class is four Masons, zero Bobs.
That's just the
way it's changed. Is nobody's named Robert anymore.
Right. That's true.
Unless you're the fifth, because, like, that family's traditional or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, everybody has access to everything now, so they have more choices, you know?
Yeah, and it's an arms race to name your kid the more fucked up thing in the world.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with something old, like George or something.
Yeah, I love George, yeah. That's a great name. Yeah, I'm going to go with something that is... I'm going to go with an animal. I'm going to name my kid like an animal's
good
name out of, like...
Marmoset.
Marmoset. Something... Nothing
Loris.
Regal. Yeah.
Loris Gabris.
Lemur Gabris.
Yeah,
please come
it
to the principal's office, you bug-eyed freak. Jared, sadly, this is the end of our time.
Oh, no.
But what I'd like to do is, and I've been saying this to a lot of my guests, because I feel like I don't... At this point, when we're speaking, only one of my episodes has even aired, but I am doing recurring... So I'd love to have you back on in
anytime
several episodes, and I will, in the meantime, read some of these books.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, and I'll blast through some of these books. I've been sitting on Robert, the first book of Wheel of Time, for about 5 years. I literally have been carrying it in my backpack for 1 year and reading comics and other books instead.
Well,
but I have book one of the Wheel. Did you read Wheel of Time?
I read the first four, and everybody that read the whole thing was like, good job.
Oh, you mean like for the first four?
You can stop. But actually, recently, Brandon Sanderson, you know, not Robert Jordan, went back and finished it, and I hear the final books are great.
Interesting. Maybe that.
Yeah, my
be...
brother says they're fantastic.
We gotta get your brother on here.
Well, no, you know what? That if you really want to have the deepest possible conversation about this, you should let me know. When I can have him on. He doesn't live here, but he's gonna come visit.
If he visits,
he's
you email
read
me
every single book like this we're talking about.
The Logan brothers, by the way, is either a moving company or two high-powered CEO. That name, like, that's the name. That's what I like about that name. It's either the Logan brothers plumbing or Logan brothers assassins. Like, you could be
between
both.
The two of them, they've read all of the expanded universe novels.
Yeah, it's a slightly different power that the Logan brothers. So let's have you back on to read more, and for the listeners, email highandmightypodcast@gabris.com or tweet at John Gabris. And
I'm at Jared Logan.
At Jared Logan. Tweet at us with recos or things that you want us to talk about on the next one, and we'll gather them all together and get into it. Now, Jared, we're wrapping up here, but do you have anything you want to plug, to keeping in mind that this may not come out for 2 months?
That's okay, because this is evergreen. If you if you have a mind, check out my album. It's called My Brave Battle. It's on iTunes, Amazon, and everything.
My Brave Battle.
My Brave Battle.
Which one gets you the biggest percentage? iTunes?
Yes. I don't know that.
I always feel like if people have the choice.
Wait, I got to call my agent.
Hold on. Stand by. We're going to shut down.
What one gets me the biggest percentage?
Give up. What?
Give up. Oh, that was my dad.
My Brave World.
No, My Brave Battle.
My Brave Battle.
Yeah.
Also, My Brave Battle is the third book of a series. Of
right?
All right. So download My Brave Battle. Read these books. I'm going to read some of Jared's recommendations and come back to another episode of High and Mighty every Thursday on the HeadGum Network. Later, shitheads. And thank you, Jared Logan.
Thank you, John.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.